This is the Retirement Key Podcast with Pat Volk, financial advisor of Abish Financial Services.
And I'm Heather Branch here with Pat, asking for his ideas on ways that you can work to better prepare for your financial future. TheRetirementKey.com is where you can start your conversation with Pat and the entire team at Abish Financial Services. We also have links posted in the show notes, so you can just click there or, again, find us anytime at TheRetirementKey.com. All right, Pat. So you and I were actually emailing earlier this week, and I said to you, I was like, I don't exactly know what you just said to me, but immediately the sentence, it was one sentence that you wrote in this email.
Inflation is the problem.
I didn't understand the sentence, but it immediately made me nervous. And I was like, the physical reaction that I'm having to a one sentence is like, that makes me nervous. This is what we were talking about, what we wanted to cover in our podcast.
Yeah.
And you emailed,
I'm trying to remember my response.
I have it right here in front of me. You said, inflation is the story. All we need now is a bank failure to get a sudden downward rate change.
Correct.
And I said to you, I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
But reading it makes me nervous. So
understood.
let's start at the top and work our way back, maybe, and unpack that statement as well.
Sure.
Talking about where we are with inflation rates. The constant conversation, everybody's wondering when the Fed will cut interest rates. Obviously, Wall Street wants that to happen. People that have picked up a mortgage in the past couple of years want to see that happen. But when you listen to investment advisors, people like you, many of them are saying, don't do it. It's not a good idea.
Correct.
So the Fed is going to meet at the end of the month to consider its next move regarding interest rates. Thomas Honing is president of the Federal Reserve Bank in Kansas City. He was telling Fox Business that inflation has not been defeated yet, and cutting rates too early puts us in a dangerous place.
They should not be cutting rates anytime soon. I also think they ought to be careful with how much they talk about cutting rates, because fiscal policy isn't going to ease this year. There's no inclination to raise taxes or to lower spending. So there's a lot of momentum. In that environment, it would take a pretty good acceleration in inflation. Now, I do think if they give up too soon and we repeat the 70s with this return to higher inflation, they're going to pay a pretty dear price for it, because it would be very difficult for them to get control of it again.
So just the idea of, he said, if they were going to repeat the 70s. And I think that thinking about the people that you work with, people that are getting into retirement or are already retired, the boomer generation is very remembering of what happened in the 70s, the economy that we were all dealing with then. I started with your statement. We're looking at inflation rates. Let's talk about the news we got this past week about inflation rates and where they are and how you are advising your clients who are struggling over what they need to be doing with their money as far as fixed income, moving into the market. Where do we go from here, Pat?
Okay. Well, let's just maybe take a little bit of a back step and explain why we have so much inflation to begin with.
Yeah.
Following the 2008 economic crisis, that's really where I would say the seeds were laid. But that was, 15 plus years ago at this point.
Right.
But when they lowered interest rates to zero, and what the Fed did by buying up all of the garbage assets is, in essence, they were injecting liquidity into the system. Mm-hmm. What they also do is they have the ability to print money. In essence, we're going to print money and just ask to borrow more. And everybody is more than willing to lend the government money all the time.
Right.
So when you have these low interest rates, everyone will want to start buying things. They'll want to buy a car because you can get a low interest rate.
Right.
I can buy a mortgage because I get a low interest rate. I can open up a business because I get a low interest rate.
All those loans, we get a very good interest rate on what we got to pay back. Got it.
Correct. And then you can see where that begets more activity, because if I open up a business and then somebody's going to be buying my goods and services, they're going to be able to utilize them or maybe sell them. And that's, in essence, how you grow an economy.
Mm-hmm.
But what can happen is, if we have too much money being injected into the system, well, you can imagine if I have, two people, they each have $5 and there's one apple. Well, the most I could ever bid on that is $5.
Right.
If somebody else enters into the picture and they maybe have $10 in their pocket, well, the price of the apple is going to start going up now.
Right.
Because they can demand more. It's just, hey, there's few goods, there's only one apple, and there's a heck of a lot more money out
there. Basic economy, economics, supply and demand.
It's really very simple. Yeah. So that's where you start seeing the price of goods and services start to escalate. And I'm keeping this very, very simple.
Right. Well, please do, because it's a complex subject. And I think a lot of people, that's what I think one of the big problems is, because there is so much going on and it is complex. And so a lot of us are, we want to know, A, what's going on, and B, what do we need to be doing to protect ourselves?
Yeah. So just in simple, that's kind of where the problem is. There was too much money coming into the system. Mm-hmm. Interest rates were exceedingly low. That's a great scenario when you need to kind of put a little bit of a rocket boost and get yourself out of a ditch.
Okay.
But now that the economy is kind of up and running, prices are still escalating. And this is really where you don't see wages moving up as high. This is where you start to get the disconnect. And this is where you start seeing folks run up credit card bills, you know, start to default on loans because they cannot afford the borrowing anymore, mm-hmm. especially as we've had these interest rates rise. We had 11 interest rate increases, and we are now at around 5.25%. What Thomas Honing was alluding to mm-hmm. is the fact that we still have relatively high inflation. If they cut interest rates, that's going to spur more economic activity. That's going to inject potentially more money into the system. And that's not going to help alleviate the problem. It's as if you're throwing gasoline on the fire.
That sounds backwards, though, to me. It's like you would think that when it comes to a thriving economy, the opportunity to put more money into it should be beneficial.
It normally you would think so, but you can almost, too much of a good thing can be a problem.
Okay.
It's almost as if, oh, water is a good thing. Absolutely. But if I drink too much water, I could kill myself.
You can kill yourself. Yeah. Okay.
So that's really in essence that you need to kind of control the supply, the demand, and the fiat currency all simultaneously. Ultimately, what's happening underneath, though, I want to kind of keep this simple.
Yeah.
When interest rates rise, bond prices fall.
Okay.
It's think of a seesaw.
Yep.
Okay. Now, who holds a lot of the bonds? The banks. The banks are required to hold bonds as security. So if I give a deposit to my bank, mm-hmm. it's not sitting in the safe in the back. They're out lending it or anything else. But what they do to make sure if there's ever a crisis, they invest in U.S. treasuries. They invest in high quality. So if anybody goes to the bank and says, give me my money back, they have something safe to go to.
Okay.
Well, what's happened? Interest rates went up. All of the bonds that the banks held have gone underwater. They're now below what they bought them for. So this is where we could have a banking crisis. I'm not saying we're having one with a major like a Goldman or a JP.
Okay.
But New York Community Bank, that's in the news. They are having significant problems. So here's the issue. We need to keep interest rates relatively high to stave off inflation and to kind of tamp this economy from setting itself ablaze.
Mm-hmm.
But simultaneously, we want to lower rates, not because the economy needs it, but because the banks are under pressure. They are going to fail if interest rates continue to go up. They need that security. This is the exact same problem we ran into in September of 2019 when we had a massive liquidity crisis. We lowered interest rates immediately from 2.25% down to 1%. That was in September of 19, 6 months before COVID even came ashore.
Mm-hmm.
We were lowering interest rates. Everybody forgets about that because COVID was almost as if the hurricane came in and put the house fire out. Well, the house was on fire. We had a massive liquidity crisis. They were starting to lower interest rates.
Yeah.
COVID was just the icing on the cake. I'm not saying anybody wanted it, but it gave them permission to lower interest rates back down to zero, which is exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. So, and that event kind of caused all of this inflation because we came off of 2008, we had the 2019, we had the pandemic, and all of this money had been injected. Even though they say they're not engaging in quantitative easing, the government is still spending like a drunken sailor. So more money is always being injected. So, and even though the Fed is fighting this, they're trying to raise interest rates, they're trying to pull things back. Government spending is not helping this at all.
Okay.
It is just another injection.
Okay.
So we have a lot of different concerns out there.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to you as the retiree.
Okay.
It's an election year. Everybody's worried about an election year. Everybody worries about these things.
Right.
I got it.
Okay.
Let's not think short term. Let's start thinking for the next 3 years. Let's start thinking for the next 5 years.
Okay.
We could all worry ourselves over what's going to happen in the next week. What I would want anyone to do, including myself. Look at your portfolio. How much risk are you taking? If you're lying awake at night, worried about what the Federal Reserve is going to do with interest rates and how that may impact your portfolio and whether or not you can retire at the end of the year, maybe your question should be a little bit of a higher level. Why are you worried? Where is your money?
Do you think many people don't know the answer to those questions?
I don't know if they've necessarily explored it, but if you're worried, are you worried because you're invested more aggressively than you should be? Or are you worried because you just don't know?
And I think that
both are very dangerous.
I always say fear is derived from lack of knowledge. When you are afraid of something, it's usually because you don't know what's on the other side of it.
Exactly. And that's always where my statement has been: education to a decision.
Right.
Find out what these different elements are. There are really safe, reasonably yielding products out there. The one that I will bring up is an annuity. I know they get bad names out there. People like to beat them up all the time.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if you're in a somewhat volatile area, having something that is safe and guaranteed and can pay a rather substantial guaranteed income, what's wrong with that? You know, I wouldn't want somebody to dismiss an idea such as an annuity solely because they heard water cooler talk or they heard some billionaire tell you you shouldn't buy one.
Right.
Last time I checked, that billionaire isn't going to pay your bills.
Yep.
He's not going to be there at your Thanksgiving dinner. He's not going to be there at Christmas.
Right.
Why are we so concerned with what other people may think as far as what I'm utilizing for my retirement plan? It's nobody's business. And if I chose an annuity because it works for me and I understand that it works for me, that's the right choice. Who cares what the billionaire says? Who cares what the water cooler says? Who cares what my neighbor says? I don't know what their circumstances are and their opinions and my thought. Who cares? They're not paying my bills.
Yep. Absolutely right. And
it's just a common question I get, Heather.
As far as annuities?
Yeah, people come in, oh, I haven't heard good things about them. And I'm like, well, why not?
Let's go ahead and state that there are bad annuities.
There are. They're bad stocks. They're bad bonds.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There are bad annuities. Know this. There are all kinds of annuities. So if you heard something bad about annuity, it could be about the annuities that Pat will tell you are bad. But just like stocks can be bad, bonds can be bad.
Anything can be bad.
There's pros and cons to every type of investing tool and opportunity. How it works for you.
Yeah. How everyone should look at an investment is agnostically. Don't have an opinion on it. It's not good. It's not bad. It is what it is. It can perform good. It can perform bad in different circumstances. But I could sit back and say, oh, bonds are lousy. Why? Because they've been at zero interest rates and then interest rates just went up and they went down. Okay, but that doesn't mean back in the 90s bonds were a bad investment.
Right.
It's the environment that they're not necessarily perfect right now.
All right. So
maybe annuities were bad.
Right.
Maybe it's not necessarily the same thing that you heard 10 years ago. There are very different products out there.
Okay, so then speaking about environments, and as you were just saying, talking about where we are currently and where we've, out of our control, been set up to be, it's, I feel a lot of people are kind of like, I didn't ask to be here, but here I am.
Nobody did.
Trying to figure out what to do now. Going back to that question, thinking about the person who's struggling over, should they keep money in fixed income? Should they move it to the market? Again, environmentally, right now, what should people be thinking about?
At this particular stage, I'm not going to say people should be panicking or making any big choices.
Right, right.
The environment is going to change. And I'm living in the same world as everybody else. I don't have some crystal ball to know exactly what the Fed is going
to
do.
Sure.
So just take that. But what you should do is at least understand where you are.
Yeah.
How are you currently invested?
Yeah.
Do you have any fixed income? Why don't you have fixed income? Do you understand all the different elements in fixed income? There could be bonds. There could be structured notes. There could be CDs. There could be a multi-year guaranteed annuity. There could be a longer term annuity. There are a myriad of things that we can utilize in that area. So for somebody to dismiss just one category or not understand a category, I don't think they're doing themselves any favors. I think they owe it to themselves to explore all of the options, get an opinion on how you have everything set up. How would it work? Is it going to be able to generate the income? And if it's not, find out a way that we can do it. This may not always be a pleasant conversation, but we'd rather have it now while we have time to make changes than waiting until it's too late and we might not be able to save the portfolio.
helping you get this kind of education, this understanding. Listen, you've worked so hard to earn and save. This is your money. This is your retirement. You deserve to know what's going on with it and the direction that you are headed. And Pat is here to help you do that. The entire team at Abish Financial Services are here to help you do that. Pat Volk, Senior Financial Advisor at Abish Financial Services. He's got decades of experience. The entire team at Abish Financial ready to help you get this education we're talking about on the podcast today. So if you have questions, find us at theretirementkey.com. We also have links posted in our show notes, so you can just click there. Or again, get started today. Visit us at theretirementkey.com.
Thanks for listening to the Retirement Key Podcast. Be sure to listen to the Retirement Key Radio Show, Saturdays and Sundays on WMAL.
Investment advisory services offered through Abish Financial Wealth Management, LLC, number 310633, a registered investment advisor firm. Financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Abish Financial Services is licensed in your state, please call 571-577-9968. Abish Financial Services is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through Abish Financial Services, Inc., Virginia Insurance License, number 12782. 20.